investment. And we're talking about God's investment in this world, what God is doing, and how you can get involved in what God is doing. And so the little subtitle here is Discovering God's Plan in This World. And it's a topical series regarding kingdom-mindedness. Kingdom-mindedness, being kingdom-minded is one of the values of our church. And we wanted to take 2 months to explain what does it really mean to be kingdom-minded. What does it mean in our church to be kingdom-minded? And I just want to do a quick breakdown of what we're looking forward to in the next 2 months. We're going to be talking about what is the greatest investment, and we started talking about that last week, and what's your part in this greatest investment? And we talked about last week where God's goal in His investment is His own glory, and God invests His time, in human terms, He invests His time and His efforts in seeing His glory go throughout the world. And He does that specifically through doing the work of healing and rescuing and renewing this world. We're also going to be talking about things to consider in this investment, and we're going to start talking about that next week. And then we're going to hear about some testimonies of this great investment. And then lastly, in February, we're going to be talking about some strategies for this investment. Now today we're going to be continuing this idea of what is the greatest investment that God is doing, and what is our part in that. And so to talk about that, our title today is The Meaning of Life. This is a big question that a lot of us have thought through for our own personal lives. And then we're going to be talking about what is the meaning of our lives as God sees it. And so we're going to be looking at Revelation chapter 7 today. And so I invite you all to turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 7. And we're going to be looking at verses 9 through 12. If you have one of these Bibles, one of these Bibles that you might have taken from the outside, if you have one of these Bibles, we're going to be looking at page 1032. Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 to 12. This is the reading of God's Word. After this I looked, and behold a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." So I want to start off by asking that question. What is the meaning of life? What gives our lives value? Why do people live? Well, let's think about this question a little bit differently, right? So I want to ask, and maybe you could even answer out loud, okay? As Christians, first of all, we believe that the afterlife, so what comes after life, is connected to our present life. So let's begin by thinking about the afterlife, okay? I want to ask, is heaven a wonderful place? I want you all to respond with your head nodding or head shaking. Maybe you think maybe heaven is not a wonderful place. Okay, is heaven a wonderful place? Okay, great. Is heaven a good place to be? Okay, now is God a good God? Yeah, God is a good God. Now, I want to ask, if God is a good God and heaven is a wonderful place, then why doesn't God bring us to heaven now? I mean, in this life, we face all kinds of struggles. Working every day is not an easy thing. Taking care of our families is not always so easy? Or is it ever easy? And so if God is a good God and heaven is a good place to be, then why doesn't God bring us to heaven now? I just want to say real quick, some of us here might say that, I don't want to go to heaven. At least not right now. And maybe the reason why you respond in this way is because you don't really believe that heaven really is a good and wonderful place. And so maybe that's the reason why you're responding by saying, I don't know if I want to be in heaven. But if we really believe that heaven was such a wonderful place and that God is a good God, then this is a valid question. Why doesn't God just bring us to heaven and be with him? Why doesn't he do that? Well, the reason is that God does have a purpose for us. And I want to say specifically, God has a purpose for every single one of you that call yourselves a Christian. God has a purpose for you in this life. And once God's purpose for us is done, once God's purpose for you is done, then it's time to go home. God will take you from this earth. But as long as God's purpose for you on this earth is not done yet, you will continue to live. You will continue to live through all kinds of struggles, all kinds of difficulties, but it's because God has a purpose for you in this life. Now, some of you might be asking, what is that purpose? Well, God's purpose for us is clear. To help us out, we have some quotes here. The Westminster Shorter Catechism, the very first question that's asked is, what is the chief end of man? What is the purpose? What's the goal of people's lives? What are we aiming for? And the answer is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Now, the way that I like to understand this idea is to give all credit to God and to enjoy this relationship that we have with him forever. Actually, heaven is considered a wonderful place, not just because it's a wonderful place, but it's because we get to have a relationship with God forever. And that's why it's a wonderful place. And so, the Westminster Shorter Catechism says, the purpose of man is to glorify God. Our chief goal, our chief end, is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Now, there's another man named Lauren Cunningham who founded YWAM. And his phrasing of this basic idea of glorifying God and enjoying him forever is to know God and make him known. To know God and make him known. Okay, so this is something that we all need to keep in mind as Christians, as believers. The reason why you are still on this earth, the purpose of your life, is to know God and to make him known. To give all credit to God for all that's going on in your life, and to enjoy the relationship that you have with him. And so with that said, the main idea for today's sermon is this. Expand God's kingdom. And we're going to talk about what that means. The main idea is to expand God's kingdom, and we're going to talk about this idea with 3 points. Number one, God's kingdom expansion. Number two, our kingdom expansion. And number three, Christ's kingdom expansion. And so the main idea for today is that all of us, especially those of us that are believers, what we need to be doing is continually being involved in expanding God's kingdom, because that's God's purpose for us. All right, so let's talk about this idea. This idea of God's kingdom expansion. What is this idea mean? What are we talking about here? Okay, so when we look at our passage today, what we find is that there are these people that are gathered around God's throne. All these people that are dressed in white robes, and they're all praising God. And what are they saying? What they're crying out, it says, and crying out with a loud voice, all of these people, a multitude that no one can number, all of these people are crying out together. What are they crying out? They're crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. You know, before we talk about kingdom-mindedness, before we talk about expanding God's kingdom, we have to talk about what is God's kingdom. What is God's kingdom? Now, this idea of talking about God's kingdom is actually a really big topic, and I'm not going to be able to talk about everything about God's kingdom, but I just want to give a glimpse of what God's kingdom is about, and so that we can have an understanding of what it means to expand God's kingdom. Here in Revelation, what we find is this picture, this vision of what God's kingdom is all about. What we see are all these people gathered from all around the world, from all of history, all of these people gathered around the world, and they're before God's throne, and they're worshiping God. And they're saying, the song that they're singing is about how we have been rescued from ourselves, how we are rescued from sin and death, and how we get to have this relationship with God, how we get to be in God's presence. And we get to sing and shout aloud about all the things that God has done, not just in our lives, but in all throughout history, how God has been doing this awesome work to bring about salvation. Salvation, this wonderful work that's being accomplished, all credit belongs to our God. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, our Lord Jesus Christ. All credit be to our triune God. And that's what the kingdom looks like. All these people gathered together worshiping God. Now, we don't see this happening all around the world. God is not being worshipped all around the world today. And so a famous preacher, John Piper, in one of his many books, he says, missions exists because worship doesn't. You see, the picture of the kingdom of God is supposed to be where all of these people are gathering around, having a relationship with God, gathered around the throne. And what they're doing is they're declaring how great God is. And they're declaring about what God is doing around the world. But that's not happening around the world right now. And so what John Piper says is that missions exists because worship doesn't. The reason why we want to be involved in kingdom expansion, the reason why we want to see missions continue to happen, we're not just talking about going around the world. Of course, missions is all about going around the world. It's about crossing cultures. But missions also can happen in our local area also. And it still requires sometimes to cross cultures to be able to do that. Missions exists. Kingdom expansion exists because worship does not. I mentioned last week that our God is a missionary God. And God desires for us to do the work of spreading this truth about the gospel, and so that his kingdom can expand. I want us to, if we could take a moment right now to watch a video. I wanted to show this video right after we prayed, but I just went right into it and I didn't give a chance to show the video. So let's watch the video right now. I just want to say, before we watch it, some of us here may not be used to the music. Some of us might not be used to the style. Some of us might be looking at the words and thinking, oh, he shouldn't be saying it this particular way. But I want us to just watch this. And rather than thinking about all the ways that you don't like the video, I want us to be thinking about all these people around the world who are still not worshiping God, and how God's truth needs to continue to go out around the world. So let's watch the video with that in mind.
For the nations, I do it for the nations. Hey, 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 hey.
7 billion people in this world still. Rising God is opening our eyes, boys and girls, realizing that the gospel is upon us. It's our mission just to spread it. Anyone that wanna hear it, any way that they can get it. All across the planet, every country, every village, preaching Jesus resurrected from the grave till they feel it. If not you, not you, then who? If not now, not now, then when? It's competition for their souls, and I'm going for the win. So send me and I go. Any place you want me, I'm about it. Got my passport in my bags, packed in my crazy. No, I doubt it. I'm just focused on this vision. Mind on this mission. A Christian who is dying to be living.
I'm living for the nations. For the nations.
For the 7 billion people in this world, that's amazing. The 7 billion people in this world, they need saving. Yeah, the harvest is so great, but the laborers are few. Lord, I'm praying that you're raising up some laborers for you. But if you ain't trying to go, then at least you could be paying. And if you ain't trying to pay, then at least you could be praying. If not you, not you, then who? If not now, not now, then when? It's competition for their souls, and I'm going for the win. So send me and I go. Any place you want me, I'm about it. Got my passport in my bags, packed in my crazy. No, I doubt it. I'm just focused on this vision. Mind on this mission. A Christian who is dying to be living.
I'm living,
living
for the nation.
For the nation.
For the nations.
Can we get the lights again? God desires us to be involved in this kingdom expansion. God, his goal is to see his glory go throughout the world. And the way that he does that is by continually doing the work of restoring people to himself. He wants to renew all of creation one day, but he's doing this work today through his people. He's doing the work of spreading God's truth, the gospel, to people around the world. And so the way that what God is doing is that he's invested in this work of seeing people give glory and worship to the Lord. And the way that we can be involved, the way that we get involved in this great investment, is to also be thinking in a similar manner, where we give all of our time and our effort, everything that's going on in our lives, to have this kingdom vision of what God is trying to accomplish in mind, and to be involved in that. Now, again, I just want to run through some of these points here. What's God's kingdom all about? It involves worship. God's kingdom is about heaven and all the benefits of being in heaven. And the idea, again, is about having this relationship with God and experiencing a satisfied life because of our relationship with God. God's kingdom is where God's ways are followed, his rule and his reign. And so what is this talking about? What this is talking about is that we see that God has a standard. And it's based on who he is. It's based on how he is a good, just, awesome God. A loving God, a merciful God. And so God has his rule, and God's kingdom is about where his rule is the rule and not some other rule that exists in this world. But also God's kingdom is about how he is in charge and how he is in power over this kingdom. And so when we talk about God's rule and reign in people's lives or this kingdom expansion, what we're talking about is bringing God's truth, his standard, and also wanting to see that God be in control or God be the king in these areas of our lives and in other people's lives. And so what that means is that we want to bring the gospel to people so that they understand that they are sinners. They need to understand that they are sinners by understanding that there is God's rule. But then because we hear about Jesus Christ and what he's done for us, how he sacrificed himself and so that our sins would be forgiven, and how he rose again from the dead and conquered sin and death. And so because of these things, we submit ourselves to Jesus. We want to live our lives for Jesus, and God's reign is over us. He is in charge of our lives. And we want to see that continue to happen all around the world. And so this happens. The way that we expand God's kingdom is by preaching the gospel, but it's also by living out what it means to be a kingdom citizen. And so God's kingdom is for all, it's also for all kinds of people. We don't just spread this gospel just to people that we like, but we also want to reach out to people that we're not used to having a relationship with. And so that means we might need to reach out to the poor. Or it might mean we need to reach out to the rich. It might mean we reach out to our coworkers. Or it might mean that we reach out to our bosses. It might mean that we reach out to those that are sick, that sometimes we might be afraid of getting close to. But not being afraid and continually reaching out to those people. And so it's for all kinds of people of different backgrounds, different cultural backgrounds, people from different nations. We want to continue to reach out to anyone and everyone, because that's what God's kingdom is pictured as. Remember, it says in the very beginning of our verse today, after this I looked and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. These are people from all different kinds of backgrounds that are gathered together. And you can also think that they're all gathered together from all different time periods. It's just an amazing idea to think about. We're going to be gathering with people from all different time periods, but we're all going to be singing the same song. We're going to be gathered with people from all different backgrounds, with all different languages, but we're all going to be singing the same song. Salvation belongs to our God. All credit and honor and everything be to our God because of what he's done all throughout history. God wants us to be involved. Of course, God could just do this and make everyone believe. Into the mic. Thank you. Of course, God could just snap his finger and change people. But that's not how God wants to work things out. The way that God has always worked is to work through people. Just as we celebrated Christmas recently, Tim Keller, I'm going to completely mess up the quote because I didn't prepare the quote, but one of the pastors and I were having a discussion recently about how Tim Keller said, you know, the shepherds heard the message from the angels. But Joseph and Mary, they heard the message from shepherds. You know, God is doing this work continually in this manner where God wants to use ordinary people, even these lowly shepherds. God wants to use ordinary people to expand the kingdom and to do this mighty work. And so it's not that God's church has a mission. It's not that we are supposed to fulfill some purpose and we're supposed to go out and do mission work and do evangelism because that's what a Christian is supposed to do. No. It's God's mission the work that God is doing in this world has a church, and he's going to continue to do his work through his people. And so, explicitly, in Acts 1:8, it talks about how we are supposed to be involved and how God wants to use us. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. Jesus says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now, as we think about this, as we think carefully about this idea of being involved in God's kingdom expansion, there's some things that we need to think through. The thing that we're supposed to be doing is we need to be sharing the gospel. And I put CFRR on there. If you have taken our Intro to FPC class, then you guys know what these four letters are. Creation, fall, redemption, restoration. And this is the basic gospel message that we want to continue to share. But also, being involved in God's kingdom expansion looks like praying for others to believe. We want to continue to pray that people will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I hear from many of you guys are doing great and continually, faithfully, not giving up hope and praying for your family members that don't believe. And some of you guys have shared with me how you guys have shed tears praying for your family members. I know that it's a big issue. It's something that you really want to see. Keep it up. Keep praying for them. It also looks like doing your best in all things. As you work for the glory of God. As you eat, as you play with your kids, as you raise your kids, as you hang out with friends, you do all these things for the glory of God. But what does that mean? It doesn't mean you just do it and you're like, "Yeah, God, I did it for you." It could mean that, but it doesn't just mean that. What it means also is that as you do all these things, you do your best so that you can be a witness to other people about this is what it's like to live in God's kingdom, to have God's rule in your life, to follow God's standard of living, and to experience still joy and peace through it all because of the relationship that you have with God. And so you do your best in all the things that you do so that you can be a witness to people around. And what it also looks like is that we reach out to people that aren't like us, that are a little bit different from us, people that we might not normally want to be close to. And it looks like reaching out to the poor, reaching out to troubled, reaching out to the foreigner, reaching out to the local people, reaching out to the Buddhist or the Muslim. That's what it looks like. One thing to keep in mind, though, is that remember in Acts 1:8, it says that you will be my witnesses. And so what that means is that it's not about converting people. It's not your job to go and change people and to make them into a Christian. It's not about converting people, but about sharing with people what God has done. And it may be the result that they may come to believe. And you can help them along that process of having them come to believe and then getting plugged in so that they continue to grow in the Lord. But it's not your responsibility to change people's hearts. God will do the work of changing hearts. And so there's this freedom. There's not this burden to try to change people where you feel like it's your responsibility to go and change people, and if you're not changing people, then you're doing something wrong. No, what God calls us to is to be witnesses, to go and share with people about what God has done and what God continues to do. And we want to continue to share with people about these things so that they hear the good news, so that they may possibly come to believe. And so here are some implications of that. If we're involved in expanding God's kingdom, if we're involved in this work, these are some of the implications. What we're going to be doing is we're going to continue to look for opportunities to share God's word, to share the gospel in your workplace, with your neighbors, with friends and family. It doesn't mean you're going to always go and share the gospel, but you're going to look for opportunities. You're going to see if there's an opening there, and you're going to want to go and share the gospel then. Also, you're not going to be discouraged when people don't change. You're going to take some time to continue to pray for them and trust that God's the one that's changing people's hearts. So you're not discouraged when people aren't changing. But we can be encouraged by God's work in us, in our lives. And so we continue to be reminded of the gospel and how God is working in our own lives. And so that we remember, I am God's child. Even if it doesn't seem like things are working out in me doing God's work, I know that God still accepts me. God still loves me because I'm his child because of what Jesus Christ has done. And we continue to remind ourselves of God's work in our lives. And as I'm encouraged to continue to go and look for these opportunities to share the gospel. Not only that, I tried to work on the wording and I just couldn't find another word, but the basic idea is that everything in life is a tool. And what I mean by that is not that we're supposed to go and just use everyone and use everything like in a way that we're not caring about people, not in a way that we're not caring about things. That's not what I mean. What I mean here is that every skill that you have, every opportunity that you have, every background history and everything that you've gone through in your life, every talent and every gift that you have, everything that you are, even the sadness in your life, even the difficulties that you faced in your life, everything that you are can be used by God to see his work continue on. God will use you for his kingdom expansion. It's not a matter of whether you're worthy enough to be involved. It's not a matter of whether you're good enough or not to be involved. God will use you, and he will use everything that you've experienced and that you have and possess in your life to do this. And what it also means is that if we're going to be gathered with people from all around the world, from all different backgrounds, what it also means is that we should be willing to partner with others out there to see God's work continue to go forth. And so we just saw this video, and some of us may not agree with all the words that are in the video. Some of us might not like the style of the music. Some of us might not like the way that it's presented. But when I look at this video, I think this is such a wonderful thing. There's this young guy that wants to encourage people to be involved in God's work, and this is his way of expressing that. And so me, I want to use his video to encourage everyone to get involved in God's work. The idea is we should be willing to partner with other people, with other churches, no matter what their background is. To partner with other organizations, and together we think about God's kingdom work in Taipei City, and we think about we're with all these other churches. It's not just our church that's doing this work. God's going to work in all of his people's lives to see his kingdom continue to expand. And so for us, what that means is that we want to continue to be involved and be willing to work with other pastors, other churches, other organizations. And even if we may have a little bit of doctrinal differences on secondary issues, it's okay. We can partner with them for God's kingdom work. And so one of the things that I do is that I meet with pastors from all different church backgrounds, and I meet with them about once a month. Sometimes I miss, so maybe it's every other month. But I meet with them, and we pray together, and we pray for each other's churches, and we pray that God's kingdom work would continue to expand. Now, I've been speaking specifically to Christians throughout this whole time and talking about being involved in God's kingdom expansion. But what about for unbelievers? If you're here and you're not a believer, remember these words from the Bible. 2 Peter chapter 3 says this: "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Okay, I want to speak to you that are unbelievers here. Just by the fact that you're listening to this sermon, just by the fact that you're here or you're watching online or you're listening to a recording of this message, I believe that somehow, some way, God is working in your life so that you can listen to this sermon and so that you can listen to these words. God is working in His people's lives. Whether you're a believer or not today, perhaps one day you will become a believer. God is working in His people's lives, and He's not working in a fast way, but He's being patient with you so that you will not perish, so that you can also come to have a relationship with God, so that you can realize your need for the Lord. And so God's purpose for you is to get to know who this God is that's working in your life, that's reaching out to you and saying, come follow me. Come believe in me. And that's what God's purpose is for you. That's what the Bible talks about. God is working in His people's lives, whether you will come to believe, whether or not you're believing now, or whether you will come to believe in the future, God is working in His people's lives to draw them unto Himself. He wants people to come to believe in Him and to grow in their trust in Him. Now, I took a lot of time to explain God's kingdom expansion, and I wanted to do that because I wanted us to be clear that God is doing this work. God wants us to be involved in this work, and this is what it looks like to see God's kingdom, this vision that we see in the Bible, and what that means for our lives today, how we want to continue to see God's kingdom expand throughout the world so that one day in the future we'll see all these people gather together to worship God. Remember, missions exist because worship doesn't. Now, as we think about this, some of us may have different kinds of doubts. Some of us may have different kinds of ideas about how you may or may not want to be involved in God's kingdom expansion. And so we come to our second point where we want to talk about our kingdom expansion. And we talked about how we can be involved in God's kingdom expansion. But sometimes what ends up happening, perhaps a lot of times, in a lot of our lives, even as Christians, what we do is that we're more involved in our kingdom expansion rather than God's kingdom expansion. You know, if we're involved in God's kingdom expansion, I'm telling you, it could be something that's exciting, something that is adventurous, something that where we see new things happen in people's lives. It's an exciting thing. Sometimes, yeah, it will be difficult. And sometimes it will require you to suffer a bit. But it is an exciting thing to be involved in God's kingdom expansion. But perhaps you might say things like this. Let me just read a few thoughts as we think together about how you really feel and think about this idea about God's kingdom expansion. You might say something like, I'll just leave the preaching and the sharing to the pastors and missionaries. Or some of you might say, I don't know if I'm good enough. I don't know if I'm a good enough Christian to do that. I think I would be a bad witness. Look at my life. I'm not good enough. Some of you might say, I don't know if I'll say the right thing. So I'll just avoid messing up. I just won't go and share because I'm just afraid I might mess up. Some of you might say, I'm just too busy right now with my responsibilities. I just need to put a lot more focus on what I'm doing right now. And honestly, it's just pretty low on my priority list. God's kingdom expansion is pretty low on my priority list. Or some of you might say, I'd like to, but I'm afraid of what people will think of me or how it might mess up relationships. If I end up sharing with someone, how it might make the relationship a little bit awkward. Or some of you might say, I really want to, but I've done this for so long and I feel really tired. I wish I could just take a break from this. Or some of you might say, I love it and that's what I'm doing. But you still find yourself getting frustrated and looking down on others when they aren't thinking in a similar way as you. So what's going on? What's going on when we have some of these thoughts? Perhaps what's happening is that there's something in your heart, deep down inside, that's driving you not to expand God's kingdom, but to expand your own kingdom. Your own idea of how life should be lived. Your own rules. Your own rule and your own reign. You want to expand your own kingdom in a way so that people will come to realize who you are and what you're all about. So that maybe people might appreciate you a little more. So that people might realize that you're such a good person. Or maybe it might be that you want to control the things that are in your life and you want to have reign over your life, rule and reign in over your life so that you don't feel like there's some danger around you. You want to make sure that things are done in a certain way so that things aren't uncomfortable maybe. So that you feel a little bit safer. So that you feel a little bit more comfortable. And so you do things in your own way. And so you want to see your kingdom expand. You want to tell people and you want to tell yourself. You want to tell your spouse. You want to tell your children. You want to tell your friends about what your rules are and how you are in control over your life. You're expanding your own rule and your own reign. And as we do something like this, what we end up saying is, all credit for salvation, for the way that my life is better, all credit is given to me. Salvation belongs to me because of how I've made it possible to live a more comfortable, a more secure life where people will accept me more and appreciate me more. A life where I'm more in control. And so, everyone, listen up. Salvation belongs to me. And with such a heart, this is not something that we will say out loud, but this is something that we declare in our hearts often. With such a heart, we reject our God and His work in our lives. But thanks be to God, that's not the testimony that's found in Revelation 7. That's not what we see people declaring over and over again. What we see is people crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb. And all these elders and angels are gathered around and they're all responding. All of creation, all of the creatures are gathered around the throne crying out, yes, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might. All of these things, we give credit to God for how He has been working. He has the power to change people's lives. He's the one that we need to be giving thanks to. He has the wisdom to know the timing and to know how to do it so that it's perfect timing. He's doing it in His time. He has the wisdom and all the honor and the power and the might to do and accomplish what He's doing. And the way that God did this is through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we come to our third point, Christ's kingdom expansion. You see, in this vision, what we see is not just God on His throne, but it specifically mentions the Lamb that was slain in previous chapters in Revelation, it talks about how the lamb is seen as if it was already slaughtered. And so when we see people gathered around the throne, and we see God on his throne and the lamb, what we're talking about is people declaring the gospel and seeing what Jesus Christ has done. What did Jesus Christ do? How was Jesus Christ involved in this kingdom expansion? Number one, Jesus Christ, all throughout his life, he desired this kingdom expansion. He wanted this to happen. It's because it was done out of love. He loved his people. God loved his people. And that's why we see Christ. He was willing to go through anything and everything to see this happen. Second thing is that Christ declared the kingdom. From the beginning of his ministry, he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." Repent, for the kingdom of God is near, is at hand. This was what was on his lips from the beginning. So Jesus Christ, he declared the kingdom. Not only that, Jesus Christ, he sacrificed himself. He allowed himself to die on the cross. He allowed himself to get arrested. He allowed himself to get beaten. He allowed himself to get mocked. He was God. He had the power to stop all of that. But he was willing to go through all that for the kingdom's sake, so that the kingdom can be inaugurated, so that the kingdom can be started. He had to die, and he had to rise again from the dead. And from that point on, as he gave the work to his disciples to declare the kingdom, he inaugurated the kingdom, and he ascended into heaven. Not only that, Christ calls us to enjoy the kingdom. And so what that means is that as the kingdom is being declared to people, people that respond to this kingdom call are responding to a relationship with Jesus Christ. We hear the good news that Jesus Christ died for our sins, and if we trust in him, we'll be able to have a relationship with him. And so then we begin to have this relationship with God, and we get to enjoy this kingdom. We get glimpses of the peace that we'll have one day. We get glimpses of the love that we'll experience one day. And lastly, Christ empowers us to expand the kingdom. Remember that verse that I shared with you guys from Acts? It says, "And the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you will be my witnesses." Jesus doesn't say, "All right, guys, go and do your best to be my witness." He doesn't say that. He says, "I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit, and I'm going to give you everything that you need. Even if you feel like you're a struggling Christian, but I will give you everything that you need in this moment now to be empowered to expand the kingdom." And so, brothers and sisters, what is the meaning of life? What is it that God wants us to be doing? What is God's purpose for us? No matter what job you have, no matter where you live, no matter what you're doing, God's work is to see his kingdom come and his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And God desires for you to be involved in this kingdom expansion. What's one practical thing you could do today to be involved in that? One practical thing is join our Sunday school class that happens right after service and learn more about what kingdom expansion is about. Every single week from January to February, we're going to be expanding a little bit more, not just with the sermon, but even with the Sunday school class. We're going to be expanding a little bit more about what all this means. And so I encourage all of you, we're going to provide lunch for a suggested donation of 50 NTD. Please join us. It's going to be a good time together. Let's pray together. God, I thank you so much for your wonderful work in our lives and for how you continue to do your powerful work of seeing your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, to see people worshiping you all around the world. Lord, I pray that in our lives, Lord, would you continue to work in us, that we would be involved in what you're doing in Taipei City and around the world. I pray for your glory. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.